Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As Creator, God sets the rules. He decreed that murder violates one of His prime commandments and must be repaid accordingly. And since our justice system often fails to do this, life loses the value God has placed upon it. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he concludes a message on the value of life. One key lesson is that vengeance must be left to God. Only He can settle the scores that drive men to murder.
Don't think that every score is going to be settled on this earth. There have been people who have given their lives trying to settle scores to make sure that before they died, it would be evened. And they're still not sure whether or not it is. The text says, leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to straighten it out. You say, yeah, but what if this person confesses his sin before he dies and goes to heaven and then still is scot-free? You know, some of you are laughing, but I know someone who said that to me. When I pointed this text out to them, they said, yeah, but you know, my father, whom they hated very much, this girl did, and she had some reason to hate him, humanly speaking. When I told her that she had to get rid of all of that hatred and explain to her how to release those feelings so that she could be free, her response was, yeah, but you know what? My dad's a Christian, and so he's going to go to heaven, and he's going to live there in bliss. She said, I'd like to see him burn in hell. You think somebody can hate that deeply? You'd better believe that there are people who hate that deeply. Well, what about somebody who confesses his sin just before he goes to heaven so he gets off scot-free? My dear friend, will you remember that there is no such thing in all the Bible that teaches that somehow justice is not going to be brought to every single situation? And even the person who confesses his sin, the reason that he is released is because Jesus absorbed the cost of that hurt that you've experienced as a child because of a father who wasn't loving to you. God is going to bring justice to every situation of life. He is going to make sure that every single sin is paid for somehow, either by the person who committed it or the Christ who died and absorbed it. But one way or another, justice is going to be brought to every situation of life. And because of that, you do not have to be a murderer in your heart. You can release the feelings of bitterness. You can choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not an emotion. And you can even forgive those who have died if you've got to do it. Don't forgive their, for their benefit. That may be too late. But for your own benefit. Forgiveness is something good that you do for yourself, not to mention the good that it does for the other person. Text says clearly, and I wish that sometimes people come up and say, well, you know, it's very clear, but what does the Greek say? Well, unfortunately, the Greek says what the English says, that the person who hates is a murderer. The person who hates is a murderer. Do we have some murderers here? Maybe we'd get a few more to stand now, and we're only on my second point. One way to murder is with the hand. The second way to murder is with the heart. A third way to murder, and we'll only refer to it and not expound on it, is with the mouth. With the mouth. James says in chapter 3, he says, some of you are speaking evil one of another. And he says, out of the same mouth is proceeding blessing and cursing. You curse during the week. You say bad things about people who are believers or others. You are gossipers. You are taking people's character and you are lowering the opinion that people have of others in the sight of other people. And you are doing that. And then you come to church and you sing, holy, 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 and crown him with many crowns. And James says, wait a moment. Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing should not come. He says, that is sinful. He says, you're eating and you're devouring one another. You are consuming one another because of your speech and the way you're speaking about other people. And you are demeaning them in the eyes of others because of what you say. And that too is character assassination. That too is murder, if you please. There's a final way that we can murder, and that is by neglect. by neglect. Just by neglecting people, by not being involved. It's not that we hate anybody. It's not that we speak evil of anybody. It's just that we stand idly by while other people are being led off to slaughter. And this can happen very subtly. It can happen certainly if, with our lack of concern regarding abortion, our lack of being willing to speak when we have opportunity to speak and let it be known where we stand. It can happen by a slum landlord expecting people to pay money, and he knows that they are in poverty, and he keeps raising the rent, and he's making money on the backs of the poor, bringing about a slow death. It's not that he hates anyone, it's just that he loves himself and all that he can see is his own needs, and he's trampling on other people to get ahead. That's another way that we can commit murder. I think that the priest and the Levite who walked by on the other side when that man was bleeding there on the way to Jericho, in some sense participated in that crime, and in heart they were one with the robber who had brought it about. Unwillingness to get involved. Those of you who have read the book Dory, the Girl Nobody Loved, with all of that heartache of a girl who was rejected and hated by her mother and went through successive orphanages. Some of you know the story. Interestingly enough, she told me one day, because it was my privilege to write that book, incidentally, with her, and to receive that information that was written perhaps 6 or 8 years ago. But it's interesting that she told me, as an adult, she said, I went back to the place where I was reared and where I was left in the apartment alone and where I was locked up and where I was beaten as a 5 or 6 year old girl. And she said, I found out that it was just across from a very fine evangelical church. She didn't know that when she was 5 or 6, but she knows that now as an adult. Well, I don't want to blame that church, because God knows that there might be that kind of blood on our own hands. I use it only as an illustration of the fact that we're living in areas where there may be that kind of abuse and that kind of hurt. And it's not that we hate anybody. It's not that we're involved. We're not contributing to it. It's just that we walk by and pretend that it doesn't exist. And we don't reach out a hand to help those who are being dragged off to hurt and to slaughter. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you've preached a message now that almost seems to imply that human life has some kind of a supreme value to it. Well, not that high a value. Not that high a value. You know that there are other values that are more important than human life. Human life is very important, but there are some that are more important. For example, you should be more important in my life. Your life should be more important to me than my own. You know what the Bible says in 1 John 3:15? We looked at the text. The very next verse says, because Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What the Bible is really saying, and I hate to say it because it's so powerful and has so many vast implications, but I should be willing to die for you. If push came to shove, if it was the difference between me dying or you dying, I should say, well, I'm going to do it. Before you get too excited about that, remember, you ought to be willing to die for me too. Then we'll have an argument as to who can die for one another. That's what the Bible says. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. And then, of course, not only that, but worship and obedience to God is more important than human life. That's why you have martyrs. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, they loved not their life to the point of death. In other words, they didn't hang on to it and say, I refuse to die, I refuse to die, I'll do absolutely anything so that I won't have to die. No! What did the martyrs do? They said, here I am, shoot me, kill me, send the wild beasts, do whatever you want. I refuse to deny Jesus Christ. And they received special recognition in heaven. They received a martyr's crown. Why? Because to them they realized that there is something in life more important than physical life, and that is obedience to God. And because of that obedience to God, God singles them out and gives them special recognition. And even though I'm not looking forward to such a thing, I would say this, that dying for Christ is the greatest honor that we could probably have. Can't think of any other way to go, really. If you've got to go, it'd be nice to go standing true to the Savior. Now, God says that human life is important because He gives it. Scientists can't put it together. They have all the elements there, They maybe even have created some cells. There may be some debate about that, but no scientist has ever yet created a single cell that is able to reproduce itself. God has to give that spark of life, right? It comes from God. God is the author of life. But did you know that the same God who gives physical life and speaks and creates it is the same God who gives what the Bible talks about as spiritual life? And just as we can't cooperate with God in the giving of physical life, only He can give it, so we cannot cooperate with God in the granting of eternal life. It is a miracle that has absolutely no human agencies involved along with it. It is the miracle of the new birth, whatever it is that we call it. The granting of eternal life is a miracle that has to be done by the same sovereign God who gives physical life. He only grants spiritual life. The only part that we have in it is we respond to God and He grants us the ability to believe and to trust Him. And when that takes place, we experience the miracle, but the miracle is wholly, totally, completely of God. And today I have the gift of eternal life because I believed on Jesus Christ. And many of you have the gift of eternal life because you also have believed on Him. But undoubtedly in a congregation like this, there are many of you who do not have that gift, though you may be religious. You've never experienced the miracle in the heart, the giving of eternal life. And once you receive that eternal life, then of course, even though you lose your physical life, as all of us must in one way or another, we then go on to live eternally with God forever and ever. D.L. Moody said to his friends, he says, one of these days you are going to read in the newspapers, D.L. Moody is dead. He said, don't believe it. At that moment, he said, I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been. That's right. That's right. That's good theology. The newspapers say D.L. Moody is dead, but D.L. Moody is more alive than he's ever been because he received not only physical life, but he received spiritual life that God is able to give to those that believe and that trust Him. And we become His children forever. Thou shalt do no murder, says Scripture, because you're valuable. But eternal life is more valuable than physical life.
Here at Running to Win, we greatly honor, of course, physical life, but even more importantly, spiritual life. I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters, and the reason it matters is because we're going to live for all of eternity, and the question will be, how faithful have we been on earth? For a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you. You'll see the relevance of the Ten Commandments, Why Holiness Matters, the subtitle, The Ten Commandments, Jesus and You.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Value of Life, a look at the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Next time, we turn to commandment number 6 in a message on honor your father and your mother. Eternity will reveal how faithful we were on earth. That's why holiness matters, the title of a book by Pastor Lutzer that describes the holiness of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.